Welcome to the Inventory Nation podcast, a show designed to bring you the incredible voices and stories of veterinary professionals coast to coast, all while helping you to manage and control your inventory. I'm your host, Nicole Claussen, coach, advisor, and champion for veterinary teams and their inventory. Joining you live from the mountains of Montana, welcome to the show. Hello, welcome back to the Inventory Nation podcast. I am so excited that you are tuning in. It's such an honor to have you listening in, and I just truly appreciate you being here. So, with that being said, today is kind of a fun episode because this month is technically VetLogic's sixth birthday. So if you can believe it, I started veterinary care logistics 6 years ago with the whole goal in mind of helping practices manage their inventory a little bit more easily and hopefully more fun at the same time. So in this episode, I kind of wanted to share some things that I've seen normalized in vet med about inventory. And some of these have shifted over the years, you know, but there is still some work I think that we need to do. And I'm going to share some of my thoughts about how we can do that. So that's what's coming up in today's episode. I also wanted to share, if you're listening on the release date, Tuesday the 18th, we are starting our free workshop series this afternoon / evening, depending on your time zone. And it's all about how to effortlessly craft an inventory action plan to get your inventory all set up and squared away. I'm also going to be spending quite a bit of time talking about how to kind of consolidate your orders and how to navigate our vendors adding in new order minimums and new shipping costs. So definitely going to be talking quite a bit about that. There's also going to be prizes. There's going to be teams. It's just going to be a lot of fun. So it's totally free. If you want to join us, go to setupyourinventory.com and we'd love to have you. So it'll be April 18th, 19th, and 20th. Okay, so let's just go ahead and jump right in to today's episode. So let's talk about some things that are just have seemed to be kind of normalized in inventory management in vet med. And I have on here five things, but I'm sure it might go longer as this episode goes on. I have a lot of things to say on this topic. You know, you may have heard my story before if you have been a listener before, but I always like to share this because I think it gives some context because, you know, I've kind of been in the weeds of it, of everything before. So when I very first started managing inventory, I was just joining this practice and they called me like a couple weeks before I was going to start working there. I was originally going to be a CSR and they called me and they're like, "Hey, do you want to manage inventory?" And I was like, "Sure, you know, why not?" I'd kind of like helped in various capacities just a little bit throughout my time in vet med prior to this, but I'd never been kind of an inventory manager before. And so I started at the practice and the gal who was who had previously had the role, she was on her way out as I was kind of starting. And so she really, the bulk of the training that I got was, you know, when you shake a bottle and it feels low, you order it. And I remember standing there in the pharmacy and I was like, okay, wait, what does that actually mean? Like, I am very much more of a numbers and an information kind of a person. And so I was like, no, but what does low actually mean? Right? Brand new to the practice, never managed inventory. And she goes, well, you know, when you just, it feels low. And I'm like, okay. So needless to say, there was a lot of learning and figuring out that I had to do because kind of the environment or kind of like how it worked when I got there is if somebody recognized that something was low, they would just call it in to, they would just call up the vendor and order that one thing. And so there was orders constantly being placed. It was, you know, there was a lot of kind of streamlining that needed to be done. And I was like, how in the world do I even go about doing this? Because I don't really even know what low means, or there's just way more questions that I had answers for. So if you're kind of feeling similar, or you're like, oh my word, what am I even supposed to be doing? I just want you to know that it is possible for you. I have been, you know, like, as I mentioned, Veterinary Care Logistics turns 6 this month, which is just wild to me. So I have been helping practices from coast to coast and internationally for 6 years now. And there's been a lot of practices. But so if I can do it, you can do it, right? So I just want you to know, if you're like, oh, I feel like I don't even know if it's possible for me, trust me, if I can do it, you can do it too. So I just want you to know that it is possible for you. And one of the things, if you're like, oh, is it though? Is it really? You know, look for other people. So if you are a part of one of our communities, either on the Facebook group or the Veterinary Inventory Strategy Network, if you follow me on social media platforms, is just look for evidence that other people are doing it too. Because seeing that evidence and seeing other people being able to, you know, kind of get their inventory under control is kind of like a sign that, hey, it's possible for you too. So I just want you to know you're definitely not alone if you're struggling with it. And I know. So I've been working on, as I've been putting together this workshop series, and also I'm working on, I have been working on the new course that's coming out called Inventory System Deep Dive. I've been working on that for quite a number of months, actually since last year. And it just kind of like brought me back to so many memories of where I was like, oh, wow, inventory was really, really hard for me at the beginning. So that's all to say, short story long, it's possible for you. And I am here cheering you on every step of the way. So I'm cheering you on. Other people in our community are cheering you on. So just know, like, we've got your back if it feels super overwhelming. Okay, so let's talk about some things that I've seen kind of like normalized in vet med about inventory management. So first and foremost, there's kind of like this belief that managing inventory takes up a ton of time and it has to be like this huge cumbersome process. That is not the case, right? So I think sometimes inventory, especially if we don't have any training, or it's just kind of the training that we had was just what has been passed down from previous inventory managers. A lot of times I find it's the case of you don't know what you don't know. And I think that's especially true when it comes to how much time it takes. You know, there are some inventory managers where, you know, they are able to place their weekly order in 30 minutes or less. They're able to print out a report from their practice management system. They grab their reorder tags, they do a quick walkthrough, and they're super easily able to order their or place their order in a short amount of time each week. And that was also similar to what I experienced. It was to the point where I had been putting a lot of focus and time and energy into kind of fixing my inventory, getting my system set up, setting out my reorder points, all this stuff. And then kind of I got to the point where they were set up and I was like, whoa, I feel like I'm doing something wrong because it's taken me a lot less time than I had anticipated or that I had experienced before. And it was kind of like this moment of like, what am I forgetting? What am I doing wrong? Because this actually feels pretty easy. And so I think sometimes when inventory takes a ton of time, it just might mean a signal that we have not found something that works for us, works with our brains, works with our unique practice. And so the cool thing is you can try stuff until you kind of find what works for you, works for your practice, because, and this kind of brings me to my next point, is, you know, there's maybe this belief that there's just one way to manage inventory. And that's not necessarily true. Like, yes, of course, we have some foundational concepts, right? We have our order points and we have, you know, cycle counts and actually placing the order. And so some of these foundational concepts are the same, but if you have a large specialty center in a huge metropolitan area, your inventory processes are probably likely going to look much different than if you were a rural one doctor cattle practice. And so a lot of times, you know, kind of as I mentioned, we have these similar foundational concepts, but it's kind of how we apply them and kind of create a best fit for our unique practice. And so, you know, if you see somebody who's like, this is absolutely how you have to do it. Well, no, that's not actually true, right? Of course, there are some things that we can do to help us get there, right? Our order points, I think order points is the big one, right? That's just the epic game changer. But there's not one way that it has to be done. And our practices are so unique, our patients are so unique, our teams are so unique that there are tiny shifts that you can make so that it makes the most sense for you, right? Some practices, oh my word, they do. Their reorder tag game is like on fire. It's amazing. They do incredible with it. Nothing runs out. Like, it is on point. Whereas another practice, they totally struggled with reorder tags, but their practice management system, they have that down to a T, and they're able to just print that report. They know exactly what to order, and that works great for them. And so if you, this is, I guess, a permission slip to try and be curious and just kind of experiment a little about what might work best for your practice. And personally, that was one of the funnest parts for me about inventory, is because I feel like it's this giant puzzle and you get to like experiment and try things and figure out what works. And then you kind of get the data about what's working and you refine it even more. I don't know. The whole process was just so fun for me. I guess that's why it explains I decided to be a consultant for a living. But yes, this is just kind of your permission slip that there's no one best way, and to kind of identify and try and be curious about what works the best for your practice. Okay. So the next thing that I think kind of becomes normalized in vet med is that being the inventory manager, or sometimes even just quote unquote the order person, is kind of this role that nobody wants. And it's just kind of something that's like given or assigned to somebody in the practice, but it's like, I have to manage inventory. And I think that has just kind of maybe the negative feeling around inventory kind of has, you know, I've seen it my whole life in vet med. So for over, 16? I don't know, a lot of years. I've seen this kind of like perpetuated, that people are like, oh, inventory, I don't want to do it. It's like this awful thing. It's like, oh my word. But I think one of the things that's important to note that I've seen more and more in recent years is it is totally okay to absolutely love being an inventory manager. Yes, there are hard days. Yes, sometimes it's a huge challenge, but there is a lot of people out there that really do enjoy it, me being one of them. And that it's okay to enjoy it. And it's okay that maybe you love being in vet med and you love being surrounded by patients, but maybe patient care isn't your top priority. Maybe it's, you know, kind of being an operations and systems minded person. And that is totally okay. And so I think one of the things about being an inventory manager is not feeling, like it's I guess what I want to say, it's totally valid if your experience is valued, your thoughts are valid, if you feel like you aren't as valuable because you aren't directly working with patient care. But I just want to remind you that you are such an important and valuable part of your practice. And, you know, you are really taking the reins and really enabling patient care, right? Because inventory, we can't care for our patients if we don't have inventory on hand. And so I remember when I was kind of first starting out that I felt like, oh my gosh, I'm not as important. I'm not as valuable because I'm not technically a part of the care team. I remember like during vet tech week, like one year they all got jackets and I did not get one because I wasn't technically part of the care team, but I was still an inventory manager. So it kind of like, I felt like it was like this weird place where I wasn't really part of the care team and I wasn't really part of the management team. And I was kind of like this, you know, alone on this little island in my practice. It was kind of like a weird experience for me that I wasn't, you know, quite a part of anything. And so I've really seen this start to shift in recent years. You know, people are like celebrating their inventory managers, and I like absolutely love to see that. I am so here for that because I truly believe what you're doing is so important and so valuable. And also, if you are not a inventory manager listening to this, like if you are a practice owner or something, you know, another role, maybe that you're involved in inventory, but maybe that's not, you know, you're not the inventory manager. I just wanted to thank you for listening to this episode, for celebrating your inventory manager, for recognizing their value and the benefit that they bring to the practice, right? Because, you know, a lot of my consulting clients that I work with one-on-one, a lot of times will end up being practice owners who are looking to retire in 3 to 5 years, or they want to sell their practice and they need to get their inventory set up before that happens. And I think that, you know, more and more, VetMed is kind of recognizing the value that inventory managers have. And so if no one has told you today, you're listening to this, if no one has told you how amazing you are, how fantastic you are, how valuable you are, let me be the one to tell you that. And, you know, something, I think I wrote it in an email last week or maybe the week before, but it was like, you know, just kind of reminding yourself that even if you didn't have a lot of training, even if you don't have a lot of resources for managing inventory, you are doing it. You are trying your best, giving it your all, and with time, you will turn the ship around. And that's just an incredible thing to be doing. So just kind of, sometimes I feel, especially like, you know, previously, like in like years or decades past or however long, the inventory managers were kind of seen as just the order person or just kind of like this cast off role. But I really love seeing more and more that it's a celebrated role in our practice. So I think that's just incredible. Okay, so the next thing that I have kind of seen normalized sometimes in inventory is that the inventory manager is responsible for high cost of goods, but they don't get any training or any guidelines on how to prevent that or make sure that cost of goods aren't too high. You know, a lot of times I'll see it where the inventory manager was minimally trained, or maybe the training was just kind of like passed on from previous generations, really. But if the inventory costs are high or something like that, they are responsible for it, but they never received any guidelines or training to make sure that didn't happen. And so I think it's really important here that if, you know, we're kind of looking at our COGS and saying, hey, wait a second, these are really high, I think it's really important as the management team or as a practice owner or leadership team or whatever that looks like is to make sure that there are guidelines in place, policies in place, systems set up to help support the inventory manager in fulfilling that. Because it's really hard. Like, you know, I always compare managing inventory to grocery shopping. But let's just say, for example, you go to the grocery store, you don't have a list, you're supposed to buy for, you know, you're having 20 people over stay with you for a week. And, you know, you're like, okay, oh, sure. And so you go to the store and you get all these things and you hope it's enough. But it turns out that you just kind of blew the budget out of the water. But you didn't have any recipes or meal ideas or even a budget of how much you should be spending. It was just kind of like after the fact, somebody was like, hey, wait a second, you spent way too much. And it's kind of like, well, wait a second, I didn't even know that what too much was, and I didn't really have any things in place. So I think it's important to, you know, empower our inventory managers, our inventory team, our practice to be able to manage inventory effectively with trainings and guidelines to make that happen. And also, that doesn't necessarily mean spend X number of percent of last week's revenue. When I say systems and guidelines, I'm not quite talking about that. We should have it built out a little bit more. You know, really put those policies in place and the structure and the systems to optimize our inventory, provide guidance on, you know, what should we order? What should we not order? What is our budget or what is our spending plan? And kind of go forward so that we can set our inventory managers up for success from the moment they say go. I've just kind of seen that often and, you know, putting, I think being responsible for high inventory costs, but not have any training or any guidance puts a huge amount of pressure on the inventory manager to get it right, but we're not telling them what right looks like. So that's just kind of my thought on it. So I definitely, if you're like, oh, it sounds like maybe I need some systems or plans in place, there's definitely lots of podcast episodes on this. I also have information on my website about this, and I'm happy to chat one-on-one because I think setting our practice up with systems and processes in place really can help our inventory thrive. It really enables our inventory managers to do the best job possible. So the next one is, you know, being expected to be available on a day off. And I think this is really common just in vet men in general, but I'm just going to speak kind of to the inventory portion of this because, you know, when I was an inventory manager, I was contacted so frequently on my day off. I just gave up my day off because it was so stressful because I was constantly getting texted like, hey, was this ordered? Or, hey, did we have this? Or, hey, we need this special order. It was almost a constant, communication on my day off. I was like, you know what? I just forfeited my day off basically and came in for a half day. Because I was getting contacted so much. And so I think, hindsight, looking back, I wish that I had set up better boundaries and kind of advocated for my time off. But, you know, I was very young and didn't really kind of have those concepts in my tool belt just quite yet. So I think, you know, being expected to be available, or constantly worrying if you're running out of something or really not being able to enjoy your vacation because you're constantly worried if something's going to run out or, if you forgot to order something or if a special order needs to happen. So I just think, you know, setting those boundaries or having some type of kind of team communication plan or, you know, something that says, wait a second, you don't actually have to, you know, constantly get notifications from other people on your day off. And maybe if you are worried about stuff running out, that might be just kind of a sign and symptom that you need to maybe look at your ordering systems as far as how much are you ordering, when do you know when something is low, to kind of set you up for success so that you aren't running out as much. So I've just kind of noticed that kind of expectation, I think, is put on us in general in vet med, but as an inventory manager to be like, hey, are we out of this or where's this or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Then the next, thing that's sometimes I hear normalized is the expectation that you'll never, ever, ever, ever run out. And of course, we want to try to mitigate as much as possible to not run out. I think if we never, ever, 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 ever run out, we probably are overstocked too much. Because if you think about it, if you're managing 500, 600, 700 items between pharmaceuticals, surgical supplies, dentistry, hospital supplies, consumables, foods, vaccines, I mean, there is a lot of items. And so we, of course, can do our best to make sure that we have effective reorder points and effective flags to know when something is low, but to have the expectation that we're never, ever, ever going to run out, just isn't, you know, that's quite the lofty expectation. And so, you know, being kind to ourselves and being kind to our future selves and kind of setting up our order points and our flags to the best of our abilities and doing the best we can with what we have, you know, is sometimes, you know, all that we can do, because we can't, you know, like, let's say if, I don't know why this happens, but it seems like there's just like a rush of things sometimes, right? You won't sell a product for like 10 weeks. And then all of a sudden you see like 6 dogs within a 2-day period that need the same thing. And you're like, wait a second, we have sold maybe 2 all year. Now in the span of 2 days, we need this 14 times or something like that. And we unfortunately can't and don't have control over that. So there might be times that we do run out, and, you know, that's okay. As long as, you know, we do our best to mitigate that from happening in the first place, but also we have a plan in place of what to do if it does happen. Because yes. So that's just kind of my thought, is that the case that you're never, ever, ever, ever going to run out of something puts an immense amount of pressure on you, because things happen and there are things that are out of our control, and we can plan the best possible way and we can have the best order points and something will still happen that's out of our control. I know it's not very fun sometimes to hear this, but unfortunately we are just human and we can't control everything. And unfortunately we can't be perfect all the time. I say that with a smile on my face because, sometimes that's easier like said than done to kind of think that or believe that. So, okay. So the last thing is being expected to fulfill a second role or a third role, or sometimes even a fourth role, but not necessarily having dedicated time or focused time to kind of make that happen. I remember when I first started, I did not have a desk. I barely had a clipboard, you know, and I'd be working as a CSR and I'd be like up front with the two workstations, and one computer was for checking people in and out. The second was for receiving purchase orders and doing inventory. And so I was trying to do two jobs. So it was just kind of, it can be challenging, right? Because inventory is a very like strategy detailed kind of a thing. Whereas it's almost the complete opposite of like caring for patients or being at the front desk. It takes, you know, it's a totally different skill set, and to kind of flip flop between back and forth between them can be challenging for sure. So I like to recommend, you know, I like to think about this as like focus time or having like kind of set dedicated time, that if you're an inventory manager, as well as seeing patients, or maybe you are a credentialed technician also on the floor doing surgery and managing inventory, maybe you're a receptionist, whatever that looks like for you, but at least having some dedicated focus time throughout the week to place your order without interruption. And maybe, you know, work with your practice management system or receive whatever that looks like for your particular role, to just try and have a small amount of focus time to work on that throughout the week, I think is incredibly helpful. And again, kind of sets you up for success, because then you're not like buzzing around trying to place orders in between appointments. And it's just like, you know, it's a lot of pressure on you. So like that focus time, I think really does help set you and the practice up for success, right? Because I just think sometimes the expectations that we have on you as an inventory manager, or just kind of as inventory managers in general, it's like the expectation is, oh, hey, never run out of things. Make sure that you're not spending too much, but you also have to be a receptionist and you have to be on the floor and you have to manage inventory and fix all the equipment and do social media and make sure that nothing expires. Make sure we don't run out, manage all the special orders. And it's just kind of like, kind of makes your head spin sometimes. So, if that feels like you, and you're like, oh, yeah, wow, that sounds familiar, I think there's a couple things to keep in mind. I think, you know, this, hopefully this episode kind of lets you know that you're not alone, but also setting up systems and processes is absolutely your friend here. The more detailed and refined systems and processes that we can set up in your inventory, it'll make this process so much easier for you and really allows for you to not spend a lot of time managing inventory, to have systems and processes for navigating high cost of goods and having those guidelines in place to keep your costs at a manageable level. It can help you from, you know, keeping things from expiring, or, you know, you won't get contacted as much on your day off because you have things in stock. So really, the foundation of it all is setting up systems and processes for your inventory that will grow with your practice and that work with you. It's just, I have experienced it personally, and I've seen what a huge difference it makes for other inventory managers. That it's just my number one recommendation is, what can we do to kind of get it out of your brain, so you're not like keeping your order points in your brain, that we can get it out of your brain onto tools, processes, so that you can really get back to your patients or, you know, other priorities that you have. So that's kind of some things that I've seen normalized in vet med, some tips of what we can do about them. And just know, I absolutely adore you. You're doing amazing things for your practice, your team, your community. And I'm here cheering you on. And as always, please don't hesitate to reach out if you have questions or if you need somebody to talk to, or you just, you know, want to say, hey, I always love talking to people. So, especially the Inventory Nation podcast listeners. So anyways, I hope you have a great day. Know that I appreciate you. I see you. You're so important and valuable. If you'll be attending the workshop series tonight, can't wait to see you there. If not, I'll see you at the next event or at the next episode. Have a great week, and I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Inventory Nation podcast and spending your time with me. I know your time is valuable and in short supply, so it truly is an honor. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe or leave a review. Be sure to visit vetlogic.co/podcast to access the show notes and discover additional links and resources. See you next time.